Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
How are we doing this morning?
Awesome.
Can we give another round of applause for the music team, please? Amazing music. It's amazing how music opens all of our hearts. And you guys couldn't have picked a better song. That's awesome. I forgive me. Yes. This morning, I want to speak with you. But I don't want to speak to you. I want to speak with you. That means I want to have a conversation with you. Is that okay?
Yes.
You know, in a conversation, it's a two-way street. So can we promise to be honest with each other? Yeah? Can I see a show of hands? Very, very good. One of what keeps us from being honestly open with each other is fear, correct? And ultimately, what we're afraid of is being judged. Or, ultimately, to be rejected if we show what we think is our true color, yeah? So I want you to nudge your neighbor and say, I won't judge you. Very, very good. Indeed, it is true that my name is Roland Kemokai. I was there when they picked that name for me. I had a say in it. Yes, you don't believe it. I had no say in it. And as I can tell, even you didn't have a say when they picked those names for you. Maybe some of you along the way have chosen other names that mean something to you. But isn't it amazing how, while the baby is still in the womb, parents have this tradition of picking out names without knowing exactly what that child is about. What's their tantrums, what don't they like, or what do they like, we don't know that. And so it unfolds that from that moment on, even before you are born, there is a narrative, a story that has begun unfolding in which you have no say in. Now, not to trample down on storytelling. How many of us here like a good story? There you go. Stories are entertaining. They have a way of giving meaning to life. They have a way of helping us create context for our own existence on this spinning giant ball called Earth in the middle of nowhere called space. However, while stories are so good in creating for us such meaning and experiences in life, also it is one of our greatest detriments as human beings. Because what happens is that most of the time while we're caught up in the stories of our lives, and I put a quotation around our lives, because there is no such thing as our life. If there was, who is this one who possesses life, and who is the one who is aware of the ones who's possessing it? Since there is no difference between you and life. You are life. So then the greatest detriment of the story is that most of the time, it's not the complete truth. Since there is no such thing as an objective truth, everything we have to experience is subjectively. So the question to you now in this conversation is, what story or stories have you been telling yourself? What have you been calling yourself? When we are not in this space of this amazing love energy that's flowing here, and you're by yourself, and that inner dialogue starts, or when you have that remote in your hand with that television news story, that breaking news story. What's going on with you? What are you telling yourself? How many of us in here are in this life workshop called couples or relationship? You guys got it. You catch on quickly. Yeah? How many of us are part of families? Everyone, even if you don't know them, you're a part of a family. Yes? The moment you're caught up in this interaction we call the human experience or human life, you have got a lot within you that is going on like a broken record, stories upon stories. So now here is the honest part I asked you earlier for this conversation. How many of us struggle with forgiveness? Yes? Those who didn't put your hands up, really? Really? How many of us are also challenged with resistance? Ah, the pain is there, yes? I am here to have a conversation with you to say, I understand you, because that's been mostly my life. However, something I've always said, and I came to discover, is that forgiveness is not our challenge. Resistance is not our challenge. Our challenge is at least, or two things. One, we just need enough motivation to know why to forgive. Because if I promise you a box of chocolate to let go, you just might let go, correct? Human beings are motivated by one of two things, pain or pleasure. Pain or pleasure. So those who are motivated by pleasure, where are you? Those are the people who get the box of chocolate. And what about those who are motivated by pain? You know yourselves. Those are the people who I intend to scare the hell out of this morning. And so you see, forgiveness is an old English. It's become modernized, and the context of it has been placed mostly in a religious context. But it's an old English, and forgiveness simply means to forgo. Or we say, to let go. As I mentioned earlier, one of our greatest detriments as human beings is this story that we get caught up in. What's the detriment of it? It's because we get very attached to the story, the meaning, and the characters and props in it. It's so incredible that from the time I was a little child, a baby, my biological parents placed me in a cardboard box and threw me away in a community dump pile and ran off. An older lady walking past the community dump pile heard a baby crying from the trash heap. For a moment, she stopped and thought, it sounds like a cat. You see? So then she stopped again and put her cane down, climbed on top of the trash heap, and pried this box open. And there is a human baby in there, covered in fire ants, screaming. So she began yelling because she hasn't seen this before. The entire community, since the houses are close by, the entire community came up, came out, yelling, scooped me up, ran to the police station. After an all-day investigation, they couldn't find my parents. So then this older lady took me home to raise me as her own. In my new home with her elderly husband also, who will become my favorite, my dad, in this home, they brought in about 16 other children from their relatives out in the villages to come and live and go to school. So here I was, the youngest of all of these siblings. So while my adopted parents, my real parents, I can really say, loved me, I was subjected to a lot of physical, verbal, sexual, and psychological abuses from the time I was a little kid. In fact, the one that stuck with me that would lead me in later years to attempt suicide, not once, twice, but three times. It's the one that was stuck in my head when they call me the dump pile baby, hence the title of my book out there, Sunuma. Sunuma is from my dialect. It means on the dump pile or from the dump pile. That stayed with me because, you see, no matter what I tried to do with myself, no matter how hard I work, I was never good enough. Because my best only amounted to the dumb pile baby. How many of you have been telling yourself you're not good enough? Remember, now it's a conversation happening here. I want you to see yourself a bit in my story. And so no matter how hard I work, I was a nobody. I believe that. They also told me I was stupid. They told me that. They told me I was the worthless parasite. I was ultimately a burden. So I grew up believing this story. In fact, so much I got addicted to it. Hence, some of you, your addiction to pain. You like the drama. We all love the drama. If you didn't like the drama, you wouldn't be here in human form. The only problem with the drama is we forget we are in a drama. We think this stuff is real, but it's not. I love my two boys, Clement and Ben. When they're watching, back when they were a lot younger, now they're 12 and 10. Back when they were younger, and they would be watching television, and their mom, she likes scary movies. And so when they're watching it, and little Ben would begin to get very afraid, his brother would say, "Ben, just look towards the edge of the TV." And I didn't understand this. So I asked him, I said, "Clement, what does that mean?" And he said, "Oh, when scary movies are happening and I look to the edge of the TV, then I realize I'm just watching it on the TV." Pretty good trick. So then I'm asking you to look to the edge of your story. Because the truth is, while I just shared that with you, I even believe the thing. The truth is, deep inside, I never fully believe it. That's why I kept on working. Because there is a spirit within me, within each of you listening to me this morning, that just will not die. It picks up. It knows what it's capable of. It comes across in anger. Who are all the angry junkies here? This is the honest part now. Those who didn't put their hands up, really? Really now? Okay. Let me tell you something about it. I grew up angry, always fighting, wanted to crack my fist at someone at any point. And if there was nobody there, then I turned the anger in on myself. The psychologists have a name for it. Anybody want to help me? Let me hear it again. You sound like you're speaking from experience. You know what I'm talking about here, huh? Yes, it turns within. But where is this springing from? We're caught up in a story that is absolutely not the ultimate truth. And because it is not the ultimate truth, it is not the truth. So then yet, I'm inviting you this morning in this conversation to begin to look towards the edge of your story. If you only knew just a little bit of what you really are. Remember, I didn't say who you are. Who is a personality construct? It started with the whole story we're talking about. So as I invite you at the edge of your story, I want you to forget who you are, the name you have, the names you've been given, the context you've built, the goals and every dream and aspiration you've set within that. I'm inviting you to step out of it and see what you are. Because you see, what you are is nameless. Let me say that again. Behind the named is the nameless. I come from Africa, Liberia. We grew up speaking dialects. And then later on, you learn English. And then here in America, I learned and studied Greek, Hebrew, and a little bit of Aramaic. Out of all of these languages, the English language is the most silly one. I told you we're going to be honest. It has all kinds of crazy rules that make no sense, simply to confuse you. It has a lot of euphemism for the same thing. So you can actually use the English language to code insults at someone and they don't even know you just insulted them. Or you can use a docket of papers and have them sign away their life, their land, their properties, and their firstborn without even knowing. So sometimes I've honestly said it is the language of thieves. But that's for another conversation. Speaking of languages, the most honest one in the world is the Spanish language. See? Yeah? They mean what they say, and they say what it is. What's the Spanish word for fear? Yeah. There's another word to say, and it means intimidation. Miedo in my dialect literally means that, fear, literally means that, fear, to be afraid till you have goosebumps cover you, that type of fear. So then within the language, we have created this personality construct, but what you are, no language, no verbally spoken language can describe you. So then the thing that has been happening with you, you have been passing judgments on yourself. I'm inviting you to let go of the gavel for a minute and embrace curiosity about what you are. Because the mystery of you has been continuously unfolding since you took on form. The problem is you have been distracted from this magnificence of your essence because you're caught up in this dramatic story that you call my life story. And I'm here to share with you that most of the pain you are experiencing, the limitations that you have been set into, the self-sabotage and the cycle of pain and resistance and suffering is coming from this story. It led me to multiple suicidal attempts. And even when my life was changed, at least at that beginning, when I decided, no, I cannot take my life, and I began going to church and making friends, and this began to show to me, oh, there is a whole nother family called human beings that I can relate to. And then in school, I saw all my grades going up high, and then I became this arrogant guy who was trash-talking all my friends in school how I was going to beat them. I never forget, it was in the sixth grade class, when I walk into this new class and I'm sitting there, I had this thing of threatening everybody every first day of the class. Yep. So we were at this private Catholic school, and I stood up. I don't even know everybody there, only a few of my friends from the fourth grade I know. And I said, listen up. If any of you fools here are trying to outscore me when we get in this class, save it. Get to the priest over there, let him pray for you, because it's going to be a bad disgrace. Well, that day something happened. I've done this in every class I was ever in. A girl stood up and said, aha, so I see we got a big mouth in the class. She said, I will make you eat your words. Oh, and then just to really rub it in, she had the best penmanship. She could write so well, and I still do the chicken scratch, so she made sure to make fun of me every day. So she really was whooping my behind. And so I was talking to my friend Brown Johnson about this, and Brown said, well, you know how the rebels do. Now, this was during wartime in my country. I'm skipping the story around so that it gives you an opportunity to get a copy of the book, or next time when I'm here again, hopefully, to share with you some more. I want to really have this conversation with you, and I get bogged so much in the story, you see. And so then I was talking with my friend Brown, and he said, here's what you do. Do like the rebels do. They go on a reconnaissance mission. So make her your friend. So I went to her. I said, hey, yo, Maima, I want to be your study partner. And I asked her in front of the guys. So she said, oh, you mean you need a tutor? I said, yes. So we started studying together. My whole deceptive mission was to find her weakness. Turns out she hated history. Back there in elementary, we called it social studies. She hated it and didn't like it. She just didn't like memorizing all these dates. I thought I was going to whoop her in math, but she was so good at it. So then I said, okay, I know exactly where to study harder. So I studied social study harder, and I managed to beat her in that class and the rest of them by the skin of my teeth. And so then, you see, within this story, then I remember in high school, wait, they say I was stupid, I was dumb, but now I'm realizing I'm actually smart. I could not reconcile this new discovery about myself with the old story of you are a stupid boy. Even my first grade teacher told my father that I was stupid. I used to be the class clown, so many of the time I had no hope. But now in high school, I cannot reconcile the truth. I had to go talk to the principal. I said, Mr. Ben, I think this is a horrible school. And Mr. Bencher was a math and physics teacher. He was like an IT person. Anybody in IT here? Ha! Do you get impatient with people? Remember I said we're keeping this thing honest, yes? Okay. So you see, Mr. Ben said, what's the problem, my friend, tell me? And I said, I'm here outscoring everybody, and I'm teaching in the schools. I'm teaching the trigonometry class, geometry, and lecturing the physics class and the English literature. He said, what's the problem? He still doesn't get the problem. I said, I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm not that smart enough to be doing that. He said, what's the problem? I said, Mr. Ben, I heard St. Peter's School is the toughest school to be in. You guys study under the British system from Ghana, and here you are, and I'm not supposed to be this good to do that, so the school is bad. And this is the principal. He looked at me and said, and then he looked me in the eye and realized I was sincerely off and wrong. He said, young man, have you ever thought about it? The problem is you. And now he was speaking my language, but he had a twist. He said, you're gifted. Why don't you help your friends? Now, how do I take gifted and reconcile it with the dump pile parasite? And now I'm asking you, how do you take all of the story that you've been telling yourself about you and face you in the mirror to realize something that you've never had the guts to tell you, that you're simply God? In all of my search, in healing myself, in overcoming everything in my life, to put my life on a trajectory into inspiring others, the one thing I've asked myself is, what are we? Because to every man, woman, boy, or girl that I meet, they speak to me. Over the voice rides the sound of their essence. If you listen well, you hear the soul on top of the voice. So the question I'm asking, what is the essence of this vibration calling itself human? And in the midst of that, what I hear over it is then realizing there is only one word that can sum this up for me at this level. It's that in each eye I look at, it's consciousness staring back at me. How many of you ever look in the mirror and really look in your eyes? How did it feel? Anybody want to give me an answer back?
Hard.
Beautiful. Hard. Hard. Beautiful.
Challenging.
Challenging. Where's that word? I heard it. Scary. Huh? Light. She's very evolved, isn't it? Yes. All of the above. Because consciousness is not one thing. It's the layer of all. We say God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere. Have we ever considered that everywhere is God? We say God is in everything, right? Have we ever considered that everything is also in God? Thus, there is no separation. So let me see all my angry junkies again. I'm here to tell you that's God wanting to experience anger. Oh, you didn't hear me so well. All of us in here, every ounce of your experience is consciousness deciding to create the opposite of that which it is so that it can experience itself. Because in the absence of that which you are not, you cannot know that which you are. Are you with me? I'll say it again. Thank you. In the absence of that which you are not, you cannot know that which you are. In the absence of darkness, how can you know light? In the absence of light, how can you know what darkness is? You see? So then, those arguments within yourself is the layers of what you are, but even beyond that. Because even truth that we seek, you are beyond truth. But how can you know this? You have to come and take on this meat sack called human body and live the experience up and down black and white, dark and light, whatever the layers are, in this form of duality, you are nothing short of God. But you see, here is why we deny this. Because to deny your divinity, it means you do not have to accept responsibility for your own life. Because all the drama you're caught up in, you know, and we know, that you're the one creating this mess. Shh, but we won't tell anyone. It's going to be our secret, okay? But you also do know, the fact that we know and you know it is not a secret, because we're all doing it. So then why pretend with each other? Why all this posturing? Why all this layering? Why all this niceness? Let's get real. How many of you here are nice? Yeah, I know you all like to put your hands up. But the truth is, you're not nice. Because while you're being nice, you're calculating. And then at a little point, when you don't get some niceness back, you build resentment. Here is one we always use. We say, I love you. If you do not get I love you too back, then the noise starts. And for this short time that I have with you, I wish there was so much more I could share with you. What I'm inviting you to is that for so long you built your life in a story that has only sponsored fear. And therefore, from a fear-sponsored place, you have built around yourself fences of security. Financial security, relationship security, job security. You go on naming all the securities. But security is for the fearful. What you, my love, what you crave is freedom. So why not financial freedom? What is that? I love when she said, I love money. I could feel her love in there. I love it. Thank you for owning that. And all of us should. Because money is not the dollar bill printer here in the U.S. Money is an energy of abundance. How many of us struggle with money here? Yes?
Yes.
Money is you. You are money. It's love. It's the truest vibration of all. So then I'm inviting you to step away from this drama where you're building life around fear, to let go and embrace your freedom. It starts by becoming really vulnerable and honest, only to find out there is no such thing as vulnerability. That which is vulnerable is destructible, can be destroyed, and therefore we are afraid. But what you are can neither be created nor destroyed. This is why the name they pick for you doesn't even work. Because what you are, my dear friends, no one can create. The body, oh, that's just a biological function. Mom and dad can get together. Animals get together. The birds and the bees get together. That's just the biological formula. But what you truly are cannot be created, and therefore cannot be destroyed. And even more so, cannot even be touched or harmed. So whatever your stories are, whatever you've gone through, I'm inviting you to the edge of your story. To look into it and step away from it. Call yourself something else if you like. Rewrite a story. This story I shared with you, of mine briefly, I went back and looked for my biological parents. I asked questions, found them, told them I forgive them. And then, years later, after 10 years of living in America and doing so much work on myself, I went back again in 2010 and looked for them and told them to forgive themselves. My mother was shocked looking at me, wondering what in the world I was talking about when I told her the greatest favor you ever did for me was to trash me. I said, so you see, let me tell you what happened here. Before I came into the body, right, I was this great God And I decided to take on human form so that I can be a masterful teacher. And the best way I wanted to go through this whole journey is to choose you so that you can trash me. And from that experience, I can build my own life to discover something, that what I really am is indestructible, that I am so much more than the sum total of my stories. So you did me a favor. And she had her mouth wide open looking at me. You really believe that? I say, I do. Oh, you should have seen me before the other one I used to believe. Because I used to believe I was a dump pile baby. People even told me, you, my mother, was a whore. And that's why you threw me away. I believed that. And I wanted to die. I didn't want to live. So I changed the story. This one, oh, I really believe it. Look at how differently I live now. So how do you need to rewrite your story? How do you need to retell your story? Recreate it. You are God, Almighty Creator. Create. And when you create and that's no longer serving you, put it aside and create again. Or when what serves you is no longer serving you, put it aside and embrace a new level, a new place. And that place is where I'm inviting you to. It's called freedom. To be you, ultimately. Many of us, when we meet each other in these social gatherings, we cave into each other. We cave in. Cut it out. You and I know it's a bunch of BS, isn't it? Hey, we said we're going to be honest in here. Let's get real with each other. When I meet you, let me meet your essence. And in that point, you sense I'm rejecting you. Then the question is, how are you rejecting you? Because that's your acceptance of yourself is the only thing that matters. Let me put it again. You are all that matters. Put a big circle around yourself. When you stand in and say, yes, sir, good morning, yes, ma'am, good morning, I am the only one that matters today. Because I am, I am, I am, I am that I am. Moses shows up at the burning bush, surprising to himself. He has this interaction. And now it's time to go back to Egypt. He said, wait, you said I should go liberate these people for a promised land. But what if they ask me, who are you? What's your name? The human being, we're always trying to categorize, to label, and contextualize, yeah? And the voice from the burning bush says, I am. That's all that was said. The that I am was added later on. It's your. This is before the Masoretics invented vowels. They were just consonants. And consonants are air pressure when we speak. Vowels is the sound of the soul. Together, beautiful. Say, I am. I am is not a name. It's a statement of existence. And it has no time, no past tense. It is what in Greek language, Koine Greek, is called the present progressive. I am, that means I continue to be, I am. I always am, I always am, I always am. I cannot say I always will be because there's no such thing as the future. Did you hear me? The future is an anticipation. The past is just memory. Whatever truly exists is now. Now. So I'm inviting you right now to allow yourself to give yourself the permission to let go. Whatever pains and hurt you're feeling, if the pain still serves you, then by all means hold on to it. But from the way I look at each of you, I don't think pain is serving you. And when I say I look at each of you, what I mean is, as we carry pain and hurt inside, we think we're holding it in. Don't kid yourself. It shows up on the body. Because the body is a screen. Your emotions, your thoughts, your beliefs are projected on this screen. We see it. See a happy, joyful, healthy person, you know. See a person who's carrying some sickness inside, you know. See a person who's carrying pain, you just gotta look. You see? So I'm inviting you to give yourself the permission to let go. And beginning with the song that we heard before I started speaking here, forgive yourself. Whatever you've been holding against yourself and punishing yourself and punishing others for not punishing you, that entire crazy cycle of drama, I'm asking you to forgive. Those of us who are in couples relationships here, forgive each other. You know some of you had a fight on the way here. Why are you looking at him, Gail? You know somewhere there was that disturbing phone call. Inside of you, I'm asking not tomorrow, not later on, let me go think about it, Roland, let me think about thinking about it. I'm asking you right now to give yourself the permission to let go. And here is the benefit for you. This is those who are motivated by pleasure. When you let go, something happens. You come alive. Your body begins to heal. You begin regressing the aging process. Your health benefit, your heart sinks. You heard in the introduction that I play music and whatever. I did not know all of these things so well in myself until I let go. And when I let go, then I began discovering, I love singing. I love playing music. Oh my goodness, I love loving. I love giving. I love receiving. At each step that you let go, you come alive, creativity. Some of you in here, or many of you, have that book or books in you. You have that song. Henry David Thoreau said, most men, we should say women, but he meant mankind, lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them. Right now, I had the funeral yesterday of one of my best friends, my best brother. And I'm thinking, as they took his casket into this grave site, I'm thinking, I'm going to miss you, but I'm really pissed off at you. So talented. So talented. And every time I call him in Africa, I say, you need to record your album. By the way, when I get back to Liberia, I'm going to be going there this fall to do some empowerment seminars. I said, you have to record a single. I'm going to drag you behind into a studio. And so the point I'm making is inside of you, as you let go, the wealth that you are comes alive. Some actually are experiencing money challenges, abundance challenges because of what you're holding on to. When you let go, you become abundant. Now, for those who are motivated by pain, when you hold on, you only punish yourself. You cause so much dis-ease in your body. Let go. Not when you feel like it. Let me get this straight out there. Forgiveness, if you wait to feel like it, you'll never get there. It's an act of the will. So insist on your will. And as I close over here, you see why Christ was hanging on the cross. At a time when I know I will be filled with rage and speaking all kinds of languages to them. I meant French, you dirty minds. While doing that, Jesus Christ said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This really is the truth. Even you, having known what you're doing, forgive you. It's an act, therefore, of the will. You see? Enact your will. You see, the same anger that we feel when we're angry, channel it and use it. So why did I forgive them? Because I became angry and obsessed with my freedom. And I say, yes, I may have come in through the dump pile, but I ain't going out like a dump pile boy. So I channel it. And when they say, you're the worthless parasite, oh yeah, watch me. So I'm inviting you to channel that within also and forgive. Our time is far spent. I want to thank you so much for having me here this morning. Thank you. 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 Let me do that. All right. I want to lead us in a meditation. Invite you to do that again, the breath you just took. Take another deep one again. And in this moment, some things I say, I want it to be words coming from you. So I invite you to close your eyes, gently allow your body to get comfortable in the seat under you. Feeling the ambience of this space, hearing the sound of my voice. As the music gently plays, I invite you to take a moment to simply focus within. And to help you do that, with your eyes closed, I want you, without saying it verbally, to say it inside, a loud hello. And hear that voice inside of you echo through the vastness of who and what you are. And this time I invite you to take another deep breath. Hold it for a count of one, two, and this time let go completely. And as you let go, I invite you to say even a louder hello inside. Let it be within you the loudest, and this time be the observer, the one who is the space, listening to this echoing, booming hello. And it is as though you are the one saying these words I say. You simply repeat inside of you with me. I am the space. I am the awareness who is the space. Allow my mind to focus on the space of my heart. As you take a deep breath in again and exhale, you find yourself giving permission to the rose of your heart as it gently unfolds. Internally, you repeat with me, I have opened my heart before, and I was hurt, so I close my heart. But now I've come to see that I attach too much expectations to my love, to my life. And so right now, in this moment, I give myself the permission to open up my heart to love again and even more. As you breathe in and exhale, affirm that with the warmth of your love coursing through your body now. Realizing the innocence of your essence is truly the purity of your love. And so you make the choice to embrace yourself. Inside, realizing this, you make the choice to let go. All that they have done to you, all that you have done to you, has has never really been done to you. It's been done for you. And so you choose to gather home inside in the space that you are. And you choose to let go. And inside of you, it is as though you speak these words. I summon my heart to open. I summon my will to forgive. And in this moment, I choose to let go. And when the feelings emerge again, I then choose again to let go. As long as I continue to choose my highest good, my highest vibration, everything is all right. I am all right. And so I invite you then to remember this moment, that this is the commitment you made, and thus your honor, that your path is that of letting go from henceforth. As the music plays a bit and we stay in the silence for a few seconds, back to the room, to the seat beneath you, to the fabric covering your body, and to the sound of my voice. Together, feel the love in here as we each support you on your journey.